The 29th of July, 1958 was a warm, sunny day in Dublin. He went to 7 o'clock Mass as usual in Church Street, or could it have been John's Lane? We don't know, but we do know that he helped Mrs. Mulhall remove the heavy wooden shutters from her shop front window at number, well, we're not quite sure, North King Street. He would have been travelling by bike, a bike he had christened Trigger. He was our father, and we would never see him again. Back home in Manor Street in Stony Batter, we had risen to a beautiful summer's morning. By the time I was up, my brother Matt, who was 6 years older than me, had already mixed a bucket of whitewash using water and Reckitt's Blue, all done under the watchful eye of our mother. The reason for the whitewash was that our house had a backyard and the wall that faced onto the kitchen was used as a trap to reflect sunlight into a very dark room. It was the sound of the new doorbell that stopped the work. My father had just installed it a few days previous. It had a luminous red light at its centre. Bzzz. I stood in the back hall and watched as my father's bike Trigger and my brother Shay's bike Topper were led in, but both of them were being led by strangers. I can still feel that midsummer heat and smell the floor polish on the lino floor. I can still see the blanched face of my mother. Which of them is it? She knew right away that either her husband or her son had been killed. She just didn't know which one. Soon the house was crammed with people, family, neighbours, priests, nuns, while aunts in flowery aprons made sandwiches and pots of tea. Hushed groups whispered in corners. I could hear them. 10 children, Lord save us. They say the good die young. Oh, you're right there, Jack. An uncle put his hand on my head. God help you, you poor gossin. A neighbour gave me a shilling. My grandmother in the black shawl mouthed silent prayers with rosary beads clasped in her fingers. My mother sat surrounded in the parlour, streamed in sunlight, shaken and distraught, like a little bird with a broken wing. The two bicycles leaned against the wall in the hall, and two unpacked lunches rested on the hall table. Later in the afternoon, my brothers and I were sent to our Aunt Peggy, who lived on Carnew Street. Our cousins invited us to play football with the other lads in the back lane. The game was very competitive, and suddenly the day became normal again. A couple of hours later, we were called in for tea. At the back gate of the house, a group of kids stood around a dead cat. One of them poked it with a stick. Another rolled its bicycle wheel over its stomach. My brother Matt looked at me and said, "Daddy's dead." "I know," I said, pretending I hadn't forgotten. After tea, we all went for a walk in the Phoenix Park. Although it was evening time, the heat was becoming even more intense and dark clouds filled the skies over Dublin. We decided to head home and were passing Ockram Street Chapel when a sheet of lightning followed by the roar of thunder stopped us in our tracks. The heavens opened. We ran into the church porch for refuge. From there we could see the life-size crucifixion scene with hail and rain lashing against the face of the dead Christ. I asked my brothers, "Is this the end of the world?" But they just laughed. Later, lying in bed, I looked out the window at the now calm, silvery sky. I tossed and turned. At the back of my mind was the nagging thought that maybe I was in some way the cause of what had happened. Dawn was breaking and the Angelus bell was ringing in Stanhope Street Convent when I finally fell asleep. I dreamt I saw him walking along the bull wall. He was playing his harmonica. He was far in the distance and I called to him, "Daddy, Daddy, you're alive, you're alive." But he couldn't hear me and didn't look back. He just kept playing his harmonica, walking slowly towards the sea until I couldn't see him anymore. The earliest memory I have of my father is being brought down to the back room when I was sick and being given an Aspro. I'd had a nightmare. My father was lighting his pipe. The name of the tobacco was Friendly, and it came in a bar wrapped in cellophane. He struck a match and it seemed like silver stars glowed on the ceiling as he inhaled. My mother held me in her arms and I fell asleep as my father smoked his pipe, and that safe, beautiful feeling will live with me forever. My father was a carpenter, and on the day he died, he was installing sash windows on the fourth floor of a block of flats that was being constructed in Summerhill. My eldest brother, Shay, who was only 18 at the time, was working with him. Years later, Shay told me what had happened. My father was on the scaffolding, which was made of timber, and Shay was inside the building. He was having a problem holding a very heavy lintel, and my father told him to pass it through the window to him. That's when the scaffold plank broke in two. He fell 40 feet and was killed instantly. I learned from my mother that a few weeks before he was killed, he told her that some of the scaffolding planks were rotten. This still haunts me. The fact that he knew of the danger but was willing to take the risk so he could provide for his family. It was only when I was grown up that she started talking to me about him again. She told me he was afraid of the dark ever since he was a child, when during the War of Independence, the British Army raided the house in the middle of the night and put a gun to his father's head. And she spoke of their last night together in 81 Manor Street. She said they heard a dog barking all night, and ever since then she hated that sound. I can see them in my mind's eye, holding each other close in the bed in the small room, not knowing that this would be their last night together, listening to a dog barking in the darkness.